Great morning, Truth Nation. Welcome to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM, The Truth. We're broadcasting live from the American Family Insurance Studio in the heart of downtown at The Avenue. I am the legendary Homer Blow. My girl, Bailey Coleman, will return on Monday. She's on assignment, taking care of some business. So, of course, don't forget to check into our YouTube page. And while you're there, hit that like and subscribe button. And also, you can watch us on Facebook Live. You can go all at 101.7 The Truth. And you can like and follow our Facebook page. It was a busy, busy day for me on yesterday. I got another busy, busy day on today. But I want to give a shout out to Alderwoman Malele A. Cog's daughter in doing her first event during Bronzeville Week. And I was the musical. Yeah, I was the musical conductor and chauffeur in the interims of all of the things that she had going on. It's the Rooted and Natural Expo. And shout out to Sister Melissa Blue of Alamode at 1942 North Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. The event was from noon to 4 p.m., just a part of one of the many things going on this week for Bronzeville Week, which actually started on last Saturday with the Harambe Walk Run. And, of course, it was a rainy situation, but they didn't give up. They made it through. They made it through. And then started, continued with the Bronzeville Arts and Cultural Festival on that Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Again, I was your musical conductor on the main stage. And so far, just everything has been going great. And I was really, really proud of her daughter, Kaylee, who ended up, you know, this was her brainchild. This is something that she wanted to do, and she made it happen. And, of course, the support of everybody that supported her vision and her putting together something that she wanted to do to be a part of Bronzeville Week did what it had to do, and it was an amazing turnout. So to everybody who came out to show love and support, all good, all good. And, of course, shout out to the sandwiches and the fruit cups and the snacks and the bottled water from Rise and Grind, which will be doing the pancakes and breakfast or pancakes and poetry coming up. And that's usually hosted by Mario the Poet, Pancakes and Poetry, 9:30 a.m. on Saturday, August 8th at Rise and Grind Cafe, 2737 North MLK, North Dr. MLK Jr. Drive. So, yeah, all a part of Bronze Week as we culminate the week and a day long events. So shout out to everybody that was involved and instrumental in making that happen. So hashtag that part, hashtag facts. So with all of that being said, there are some things that I want to end up talking about with Madison. You know, I know I like to make sure that we give updates, and there was a sighting of the mayor, and she actually spoke out for the first time as it relates to the protesters that are out there, you know, making sure that Corey's memory, you know, does not go down in vain, and that they get some answers and the justice that the family needs and the community as well. And, you know, it's important. So to see them all come together, but we got to see what all took place, what all happened, and why she made the decisions that I already said that, yeah, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And it happened. So we do have a clip of the mayor of Madison that is speaking about why she chose to do what she did with removing the encampment and things like that. So great morning to my producer, Xavier. How you doing and feeling this morning, sir?
I'm alive.
Okay. Well, that's important, because if you weren't, I wouldn't be in here. I'd be like, hello, somebody in the studio, in the producer's studio that, yeah, is not with us amongst the living anymore.
Hasn't that happened to you before?
No, I ain't had no weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, no, I'm talking about where the producer went missing.
No.
Okay.
Do you know of such a time?
I guess not.
You do?
I said I guess not.
Okay. No, I'm asking because you said, hasn't that happened to me before?
Oh, I just, I don't know. I just thought something like that happened to you one time.
Oh.
Maybe not.
Okay.
Maybe it was a different morning show.
Okay. You are, wait, you know, now if you ask if we've had different situations, yeah. Yeah, that has happened. That has happened. But we're going to listen to this clip with the mayor, and then we'll talk about it, Truth Nation. Great morning.
In Madison, the city's mayor just wrapped up a press conference on the situation playing out at the encampment on Baldwin and Williamson streets after protesters took back that site last night. This was the scene with protesters calling for justice and accountability nearly 2 weeks after Corey Ruiz was shot and killed by Madison police near this area. Police say he had a knife and injured an officer. The city started clearing that encampment early yesterday morning after it had been up for about 2 weeks. Once police left by Tuesday night, protesters did move back in. And we had crews there throughout the day and night yesterday and still have people there today. Our chief investigative reporter, in fact, Jenna Ray, live this afternoon near Williamson and Baldwin Street. And what's the situation like right now, Jenna?
Andrea, it is a completely different story this afternoon here in Madison. Again, we're at the intersection of Baldwin and Williamson, where this encampment and dozens of people have been housed for the last several weeks. Just take a look around me so you can kind of get an idea of what we're looking at. This street was filled with people over the last 2 weeks, filled with tents. Again, a full encampment encompassing basically this entire intersection. And today, about 12 hours after city workers and law enforcement were here trying to clean this up, it's pretty much clear. And city leaders and police say that, again, they've been occupying this block, for the last 2 weeks. And today we heard from Madison's mayor, Satya Rhodes Conway, who says that she's been trying to seek a peaceful resolution to provide emergency assistance for dozens of unhoused people who were here without the help of law enforcement. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. Our crews were here in Madison on the ground when that plan began. We were here and we saw city workers were at the encampment kind of trying to get people to disperse. Our Mike Biermeister was here while this was happening, noting that people were getting a little riled up. Tensions were rising as these city workers were trying to move these people out of the encampment. The mayor also mentioned this morning that she says that folks who were in this encampment and asked to leave were actually offered several resources, including bus tickets and hotel rooms. All of this, she says, to offer some sort of compromise between the people who were in the encampment and the neighbors who are living on this block and people who are operating businesses on this block who say they were being negatively impacted by this. Now, as the day went on and as that sun set, things escalated, and there was a small group of people who would not leave. City leaders say that they were trying to de-escalate the situation without police, but things got out of hand. The police chief telling us this morning that there were several people arrested within the last couple of days, 22 people arrested, 10 people who received citations, all, again, over the last few days as they are trying to kind of come to some sort of compromise about honoring Corey Ruiz, as the mayor says, while also protecting neighbors and business interests in this area. For now, we're live in Madison. I'm Jenna Ray for TMJ4 News.
Okay, appreciate that report. The tensions have cooled.
So, yeah. So just continuing to give updates as it relates to that situation. Because it is an ongoing situation. But, and speaking of an ongoing situation, this morning, I will read someone who appears to have reversed their stance. That is one of our leading governor candidates, Francesca Hung. And in the last days of the Democratic primary for governor, Francesca Hung is reversing her past support for defunding and eliminating police and walking black accusations of racism that she has made against law enforcement officers. Is that strategic to, well, maybe I won't be doing that. So I just say for, you know, and I'll read more of this particular story that is on Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Online to tell you, you know, all of the things that she said and questions that were asked of her, and she didn't comment. She had no comment. So it's one of those situations, in my opinion, you're going to learn today. You're going to learn today. And as always, remember, Truth Nation, the Truth Talk text lines are always open for you at 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. You can call in, you can leave a text, whatever you need to do to make sure that your voice and your truth is heard. Already on our YouTube page, great morning, love you, appreciate you, Nurse Arian Kawanda, Sincere Ronnie Ray Real, Anita Nicole, Lori Patterson, Bruce City, great morning, love y'all and appreciate you all. Got to get ready to take care of our first set of bills again. Welcome to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM. I'll be black.
Don't touch that dial. Truth in the Morning will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on 101.7 The Truth on YouTube. You are listening to Truth in the Morning on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on 101.7 The Truth on YouTube.
Welcome back, Troop Nation. Yeah, you know, in this situation, before we went to take care of some bills, I was speaking about candidate for governor, Democratic primary that is up and coming on August 11th. Remember, you can still early vote. Of course, if you choose to wait until the day of Tuesday, August 11th, 7 a.m., polls will open. Make sure you get your vote in. Make sure your vote is heard. Make sure that your right is expressed on August 11th if you have not already early voted. And the leading Democratic primary candidate, the Democratic gubernatorial candidate, Francesca Hung, is walking black previous support for defunding police. Hung recently stated she would not abolish the police and no longer believes they exist to uphold white supremacy. Wisconsin Police Association leader noted the reversal, but questioned if her underlying views have changed. Polling shows a majority of Wisconsin voters favor increasing state funding for police. So in full, I'll read this again. This is on Milwaukee JS Online. Hung, a Democratic socialist who leads the primary field in statewide polling, is on track to secure the Democratic Party's nomination for governor and faces a general election electorate that largely supports police and wants more funding for them, not less. In an August 4th interview on the national podcast Pod Save America, Hung said she would not abolish the police. And when asked if she still holds the view that police exist to uphold white supremacy, as she posted in 2020, Hung said, "No, my views have only become stronger in that I'm serious about public safety and I will not abolish the police. Our views are that people are struggling right now and need basic needs met. And I want to focus on stopping violent crime and giving law enforcement the resources and the training that they need, but ensure that we are also holding accountable law enforcement that does not follow the law, Hong said. When asked when she changed her belief that police support white supremacy, Hong did not answer. Instead, she said, when you talk to people who are most justice impacted, a mother who lost a child to police violence, people who have contended with injustices in historically marginalized communities, but justice also looks like making sure that we are implementing solutions and helping to change the material conditions of people's lives. Hong will undoubtedly face headwinds over her comments about law enforcement. 78% of Wisconsin voters surveyed in a 2022 poll by the Marquette University Law School said they favored increasing state funding for police. She began walking black her past comments on police in recent weeks, most notably during a July 28th televised debate when she provided an emphatic no to a question about whether she would sign legislation that decreases funding for police. The comment turned heads because Hong has repeatedly said she supported the idea of reducing funding for police and abolishing law enforcement altogether. Jim Palmer, executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, said his law enforcement advocacy group welcomes Hong's new statement. Those are significant reversals of positions that were deeply offensive to law enforcement officers and fundamentally inconsistent with the realities of public safety, Palmer said. But Palmer said it's more difficult to determine whether her broader views have genuinely changed. Given Hong's reaction to the recent fatal police shooting of Corey, he was a black Madison man who police say injured an officer with a knife before an officer shot him, killing him. Hong called the shooting an execution and characterized it as state-sanctioned violence and questioned officers' decision to arrest the man. Those comments reflect the same troubling willingness to assume the worst about police officers before the evidence is known, Palmer said. Representative Hong may have changed the language she uses to describe her position, but her response to this incident gives law enforcement officers and the general public understandable reason to question how much her underlying perspective has actually changed. A spokeswoman for Hong did not immediately respond to Palmer's comments. Voters will decide on August 11th which Democratic candidate for governor should face likely Republican candidate for Governor Tom Tiffany in the general election. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley is Hong's top opponent in the primary. Palmer's group is not affiliated with political parties and has endorsed candidates from both major political ideologies in the past. He said the group evaluates elected officials and candidates based on their records and positions, not their political party. He said there are meaningful distinctions among these three top candidates. Palmer said Crowley's response to Corey's shooting was considerably more measured than Francesca Hong's. He expressed concern about what occurred, but also indicated that he wanted to hear the officer's explanation and the police account before reaching a conclusion, Palmer said. We may not agree with every comparison or policy emphasis he has made, but he has generally approached public safety as requiring both effective law enforcement and investments aimed at preventing violence. So, yeah, this story was done by Molly Beck of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And, yeah, I want to know, Truth Nation, we can put up a poll and find out, do you believe that this last-minute change of heart by Francesca Hong, do you believe it's genuine? Do you believe her? You know, I think it's a political ploy. I think it's a political ploy. I think that with the comments that she made at the protesters' rally and encampment sites, that her stance is still the same. I think that whoever her handlers are, that they said, look, You're going to have to change that because that could cost you. That could cost you. You going up there speaking out and saying what you said up there in Madison could cost you that election that is upcoming on August 11th. So I think her handlers got to her and said, and even some of her supporters said, look, for now, just say that you don't feel that way. But when this just happened with Corey, your opinions emanated the same thing, in my opinion. So, again, we want to get the poll up. Do you think that her retraction, her black tracking, you know, do you believe that it was genuine or not? Do you believe her or not? Do you believe this new stance that she has taken, saying that, oh, no, I'm not, you know, and I think it's a political ploy. And she's just trying to get elected. Mm-hmm. So that is the question. So 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. Of course, I'll give one of her biggest supporters, our producer, Xavier, to get his opinion. But again, Truth Nation, in hearing that she has now reversed her stance, but which seemed still prominent when the death of Corey Ruiz happened, and she went out there, and they even have audio clips that show her taking that stance and saying what she was saying. But now all of a sudden, yeah, I'm not on that anymore. So it's one thing if it changed a long time ago, but this just literally changed in an instant. Our producer, Xavier, great morning again. What's your truth on this? What do you think about that? This is your candidate of choice.
Well, I mean, the statement defund the police is a toxic and loaded thing. It was the people that put out that whole statement or that whole slogan was toxic or whatever. You know, when people say defund the police, they mean restructure, reform. You know, when people are having, mental health cases, they don't need someone coming with a gun. They need someone that actually, you know, actually has mental health, experience and stuff like that. That's what that slogan means, you know. But, yeah, I wouldn't say politically anyone that had that stance before can't come out and say that because the term is toxic.
Yeah, but
– And is misconstrued when people – because, you know, just like, you know, what's happening now, you think that she wants to get rid of all the cops. Like,
how long ago did Corey this is where I'm going. It's one thing – for me, and this is just my opinion and my truth, if you come out well before that with those kind of retractions and reversing your stance, that's one thing. She just re-emphasized her stand on that when Corey lost his life in Madison at the hand of law enforcement. So you were just there again, mm-hmm. reiterating like, yeah, this is my stance on this, but now all of a sudden – here we are just days away from the primary election, and boom.
Do you have her direct statement?
I changed. I read it in that long-ass report that I just did for the Journal Sentinel, so I'm not going to try to go black and just dig that out. But, again, it's like all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? But while she was up there in Madison standing with the protesters, she still had the same stance.
Yeah. I mean, you think this is it's politics, you know.
Yeah, and so that's where I got a problem.
And I would say that, like I said, the term defund the police is a toxic term that could be misconstrued when, you know, I know the actual meaning of it is like actual reform so we can have
Yeah,
more
we know what
safety.
The actual meaning is, yes. But again, she stood on business in continuing to push that narrative, and now all of a sudden – just after still pushing the same narrative.
Yeah.
Just a few weeks ago, pushing the same narrative. Now, I change. I think she's changed because of the election and how that could end up hurting her chances of and where Tom Tiffany and whoever, you know what I'm saying, the opponent may be, is going to light her ass up because of that. So that's where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
But make sure y'all vote in the poll. It is up on YouTube now. Again, it's do you believe that Francesca Hung's new stance on police, is it genuine or is this, you know, she's doing it to become more electable, you know what I'm saying, receive the votes. I think that it is a ploy.
Yeah, but
do you believe that her stance has changed? Yes or no?
Because think about this in reality. Think if, you know, say she wins the governorship, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. It's
impossible for her to even get rid of the police or abolish the police.
Well, but, you know, but again, so that kind of lets you know, like, what the hell kind of mind state. I'm going to let you go ahead and get that. But that also tells me, like, what the hell is your mind state for real, for real? And again, as has been broken down with the fact of the time that she's been up there to out of 248 things to only get one thing passed, that says a lot. That says a lot. We got to get ready to take care of some bills. Truth Nation, I definitely want to hear from you. I definitely want to see what your position is. Do you think this is a political ploy, the reason that she's all of a sudden changed the stance, you know, or is it genuine? Do you think it's genuine? So 833-212-1017, Truth in the Morning. I am the legendary Homer Blow. I'll be black.
Truth in the Morning returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on 101.7 The Truth on YouTube. You are listening to Truth in the Morning on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on 101.7 The Truth on YouTube.
Milwaukee, mark your calendars and join us for the Truth Family Fest on Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School. It's free and fun for the entire family, featuring great music, community resources, family activities, and Black to School support to help students get ready for a successful school year. If you're interested in volunteering, visit the Truth's website at 1017thetruth.com to complete the volunteer form or by emailing Sierra, that's Sierra.Brown, at MilwaukeeBlackMedia.com. That's Sierra, Sierra.Brown, at MilwaukeeBlackMedia.com. Bring the whole family and experience one of Milwaukee's favorite community celebrations, Truth Family Fest, happening Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Special thanks to Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, Artists Working in Education, City of Milwaukee Department of Community Wellness and Safety, and Ascension. Welcome Black to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM. I am the legendary Homer Blow. My girl Bailey Coleman will join me again on Monday. And we are currently talking about the reverse stance all of a sudden. The reverse stance all of a sudden from Democratic primary for governor candidate Francesca Hung. She's reversing her past support for defunding and eliminating police and walking black accusations of racism that she has made against law enforcement officers. So we're going to go to the True Talk text lines, 833-212-1017. Michael, great morning. Love you. Appreciate you. You hear the conversation. What's your truth?
I believe that she is just changing for the benefit of the election coming up. And talking about law enforcement, the way she was doing, that is wrong, because they're out there to do their job. They have to do their job and everything. And I also want to give a shout-out to Bailey, who's not there this morning, but I miss her, and I'm happy to talk with you, Homer. And you take care, and I love you, and I appreciate you.
All right, love you and appreciate you, too. Again, 833-212-1017. 833-212-1017. That is our Truth Talk text line. Again, it seems like clear as day. We do have a poll up on our YouTube page. Again, 1017 The Truth. Do you believe that Francesca Hong's new stance on police, do you believe it? Yes or no? And my answer is absolutely no. She's trying to change her image and stance on something that even just a few weeks ago she reiterated that this was her stance. You know what I mean? So now all of a sudden here we are, like I say, days from the election. And I think her handler, and I'm not mad because I think that it's important if you got handlers that know, like, nah, this ain't a good look. And then when you went up there to Madison and, you know what I'm saying, said what you said, standing with them, that, yeah, you know, you might lose some supporters and you might lose some voters. You might lose your chance of certain endorsements or whatnot because of that stance. And I think that what happened, obviously, was a tragedy with Corey. And to kind of, you know, take that opportunity, if that's how you really feel, and you take that opportunity to stand on business with your past claims on how you feel about law enforcement and white supremacy and things of that nature. But now all of a sudden, here we are in the final stretch before August 11th, and it's a role reversal. It's a role reversal. So what are the yeses? What are the percentages on yes? What are the percentages on no? Do you believe Francesca Hong's new stance on police? If you do believe that, then you'd vote yes. If you think that it's just a ploy, you'd vote no, just so you have an understanding. So what are we looking at?
It is sitting at 75% no, 25% yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I think, again, the writing is on the wall as it relates to her believability on that. I don't think that she's really turned the corner on that. I think that she's taking this opportunity because she got some people in her camp. It was like, nope, we got to get out. Nope. We can't be on that part no more. Nope. You can still be on it, but you got to say that you ain't on it in order to get over this hurdle and make it to, you know, the finals. So I think that's why, you know, she ended up, like I say, changing her stance on it. And that's it. That's all. So, yeah, see how you flip, but then talk about other people when certain things may change for them. But that ain't no fun when the rabbit has the weapon. We'll just say it like that. When the rabbit has the weapon. But, yeah, all of a sudden, it's change your heart. Just kind of amazing, huh? All right. Another situation, we'll still leave that poll up to get your opinion, but I think that most people thus far are understanding and riding with the fact that this is really just a ploy, you know, to stay believable. You know, like, yeah, I'm not, I don't support this, I don't support that. Yeah. But, yep, that part. Another thing, we haven't heard from the owner of the Sherman Park grocery store in a minute, but he's speaking out now because of the new SNAP benefits rule. And it's saying Milwaukee grocers warn that the new federal SNAP rule could strain small stores serving underserved communities. So there's a new situation and addition that is now being carried out. And he was already hurting, but then there was something that was passed by the Common Council to, you know, give some benefits and support to some of the small grocers in our communities. And so I hadn't heard the cry for help of saying, hey, look, if we don't get some more business, we're going to have to end up shutting down. We don't want to shut down. But with the way that things are going and all of this and all of that, we are not going to be able to sustain. And then you'll have another business in the community that would be gone. Well, now he's speaking out again, saying that these new federal rules that will require grocery and convenience stores that accept supplemental nutrition assistance program benefits, which is SNAP, that to stock more food varieties. So I just want to get your thoughts on this. And do you believe that it's unfair? And I get it. The seven varieties of items across four categories of staple foods, protein, grains, dairy, and fruits and vegetables, that is more than double the number of foods currently required in each category. So, you know, I want to end up playing the clip, but we'll play it after we get into our next break, because I want to definitely talk about it and get your truth on it. Do you understand how this is going to push some smaller stores out of business because of this new federal SNAP benefit requirement of what you have to have in your store? Or are these things that are needed in all of our stores, whether you're a small store or not? But again, we'll get to hear his truth and him explaining why and how this could potentially put his store as well as a lot of other smaller stores out of business. I don't think it's an issue for a lot of the bigger stores. The issue with a lot of the bigger stores is are they closing too? And not because of the new SNAP benefit federal requirements either. So you're listening to Truth in the Morning on the award-winning 101.7 FM. I got to get ready to take care of some bills. So when we return, we will play this clip where we will get to hear from Maurice Wentz, owner of Sherman Park Grocery Store, where he says that more than a third of his customers rely on federal assistance. And he said his small business, like his, feel a critical need in the community, but he don't know what's going to happen with this new SNAP benefit policy that's coming into effect. So we're going to take care of these bills, and I'll be black.
Truth in the Morning returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on 101.7 The Truth on YouTube. You are listening to Truth in the Morning on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on 101.7 The Truth on YouTube.
Welcome, Black Truth Nation, to Truth in the Morning. Before we went to take care of some bills, I was talking about one of the next topics of discussion. A Milwaukee grocer warns that new federal SNAP rule could strain small stores that are serving underserved communities. So we do have a clip on TMJ4. So to kind of bring you into the mix, you get a better understanding of why he's saying that This could end up being a problem for a lot of the smaller grocery stores trying to comply with these new SNAP benefit requirements from the federal government. So, Xavier, if you could play that clip.
Grocery and convenience stores nationwide will soon be required to stock more foods and perishables on their shelves if they want to accept federal food assistance like SNAP and EBT. I talked to the owner of this local grocery store. He says this will ultimately affect their bottom line and many of the customers they serve.
And we know that there's a razor-thin profit in groceries.
According to the USDA Food and Nutrition Administration, the new rule will require retailers that accept SNAP benefits to now carry seven varieties of items across four categories of staple foods, being proteins, grains, dairy, and fruits and vegetables. It's more than double the number of foods currently required in each of those categories.
Any increase in vendor costs and purchasing and increasing those things, that cost is literally passed on to the customers.
Maurice Wentz is the owner of Sherman Park Grocery Store. He says more than a third of his customers rely on federal assistance. He says small businesses like his fill a need in the community.
not just grocery stores are leaving, but pharmacies are leaving, and we're finding ourselves food insecurity and pharmacy insecurity. And folks like myself are still committed to the vision and the mission and saying, we're here.
When the new rule was announced, the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke L. Rowland, said the requirements put, quote, real food first. She also said, quote, SNAP authorized retailers accept over $90 billion a year or $236 million a day in taxpayer dollars. The USDA is making sure they're actually in the business of selling food. On Tuesday, Governor Evers published a letter to Rowlands urging her to rescind the rule, saying it would harm small businesses and Wisconsinites who rely on smaller stores.
Food is justice.
The Hunger Task Force sent me a statement saying in part, quote, Hunger Task Force is concerned that these changes will impact both small and combination stores, which are critical points of food and grocery access in rural communities and food deserts across our state. The USDA says SNAP retailers must implement the new requirements no later than November 4th. In Milwaukee, Merrill Hubbard, TMJ 4 News.
So there you have it, Troop Nation. Again, with those, you heard his logic with that, and I get it. I understand. And when you're talking about smaller grocery stores trying to make sure that they have all those things, it's twofold in the sense of, yes, we do need, you know, those things in, instead of like how they've stopped in certain states where you can't buy certain items with your EBT card, or your Quest card. And I get it. I get it. I get that part. But I also get and understand how requiring some of these smaller stores to have all of those things can end up definitely putting a lot of them out of business. And I don't think we need anything else to help continue to close down some of our grocers and our box stores, because it's definitely becoming a food desert here, and especially for people in close-knit communities. So I think that is a big, big problem. I want to... as we talk about this, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Troop Nation, on the story that we're talking about. But what was the final results of the poll, Xavier, as it related to people feeling that Francesca Hung just changed her stance? Do you believe that it's legitimate? Yes or no?
77% no, and 23% yes.
Yeah. So those that participated, thank you for participating in the poll. And I think that they have my mindset on that as well. That is just a ploy. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see how it plays out. No sounds. People saying no sound on our YouTube page. So hopefully that will get rectified. Since still no sound. Still no sound. We're working. Okay. All right, let us know now if you hear it, because Xavier said in the chat, no sound, help. So all right, so you should be catching up. You should be catching up, and it should be where it needs to be. We apologize for any inconvenience, and Truth Nation, thank you for sounding off and allowing me to know. So I don't know where you caught me at. While you could still hear, but I'm glad that we got the sound regulated it, and yep, and it's fixed now. Mahdi said, Mid-Eastern people eating great off America. They're owning gas stations, car lots, groceries, liquor stores, tobacco stores. They making millions. Black people don't own nothing but one gas station. Yeah, it's a sad truth. Do we, you know, but it brings to mind one of the things that I've talked about in the past on this show. Do we truly support when we do have black-owned and operated establishments and businesses? Do we truly support them? Because I don't know of too many businesses, and this is not a new stance for me. I don't know too many businesses, black owned or not, that if you're doing great business, you're doing, I mean, you know, you're making money. I don't see you just saying I'm getting ready to close because I'm just making too much money. I don't see that. Even with black owned and operated gas stations. The begging, and yes, I say the begging, in my opinion, that the gas station on 8th and Atkinson has to do to try to get people to shop there, to get their gas from there, to support the in-house restaurant that is inside of there. It's like they have to constantly try to remind people, whereas all these other gas stations, they don't have to remind you. They just open. They just open and we go. They just open and we go. So that, you know, is a problem as well. Like a lot of people that talked about the Center Street Fish Market. And again, I've never changed my view on that. Where the community and black people in general that said how much they loved the Center Street Fish Market, were you still supporting it? Or did your support fall off? And now they sit in there with something that is not really making money. They still have overhead that they have to meet. They still have insurance that they have to pay. But they're not having the amount of business that would make it all make sense. So, you know, how long do you survive? Because now I'm hearing that the new store that is there, the new fish and chicken place that is there, Fry Boss or something like that, that is not owned by a black person. But we tend to complain when those businesses close. But again, I have not seen a business that was like booming, making money, just decide to say, we up out of here. We're going to close it. And who wants to buy this? I just haven't seen that. I think that, you know, we talk a good game about supporting. And also, I always thought that it was crazy that we have to say we black owned. You get what I'm saying? Like, go. How many people order stuff offline and you don't know who owns the company? You don't know who owns the business. But you shop till you drop. But for a lot of black-owned businesses, they put up, you know, black-owned, you know what I'm saying? This is, you know, and I think that just business should be able to be business. But we know that, unfortunately, that doesn't work that way in our community a lot of times. So for those who are, you know, able to get it and sustain or survive, good. But we are a hard sell to our own people. Now, don't get me wrong. In the mix of that, you got some black businesses that just ain't doing right, and they're creating their own demise. But there are a lot of black-owned and operated businesses that are doing the right thing, grocery stores, the whole nine. But if you're not coming to support those stores in the volumes that they need to continue to maintain their overhead, employees, and, you know, all of the things that make that business run, I understand why some of them are crying out for help and saying, look, we're about to close. We're going to have to. But then the community will jump out and say, see, we done lost another one. Ask yourself why. We got to get ready to take care of some bills as we move to the top of the hour. I am the legendary Homer Blow. My girl Bailey Coleman will return on Monday. The True Talk text lines are open at 833-212-1017. Why are we going by the wayside when it relates to black-owned and operated businesses, whether it's a small grocery store, gas stations? Why are we dying out in those areas? We'll be black.
Truth in the Morning returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on 1017 The Truth on YouTube.